Brother Josh was teaching here the other week out of this text in the adult Sunday school. As he was reading this text, there was one thought and one thing that popped out to me that I'd never noticed before. I had never looked at it. It's not that it wasn't there. I just hadn't seen it. Probably something you've seen, I'm sure, many times in your Bible reading, but I'd really never seen it. I'd never thought about it. But as the weeks have passed, last couple of weeks have passed, this thought has been on my heart. I've tried to put an outline to it, and really I couldn't do that. Sometimes the Lord gives me a good outline of the text, and sometimes He just gives you thoughts on your heart, and that's what I want to try to share with you today, are the thoughts that I have in my heart about this woman. But as I begin to consider this text, I know that we have been in the book of John, and when the preacher said that he wanted every Sunday school teacher to teach out of this book and look at everything that was done through the lens of what Christ had done on this earth and how it affected those around Him, I begin to do that myself. Sometimes I never know if I'm going to be teaching a Sunday school class or what I might be doing. And so I said, well, Lord, I want to be prepared to do that as well. And I begin to study, and the truths that God has given me out of this book, Brother Craig, have sustained me in my daily Christian walk. To look at how Christ affected the world around Him, not necessarily as the Son of God, even though He was the Son of God, but as a man that God controlled, as a man that God used every day that He was upon this earth to affect the lives of those around them. And I begin, Brother Travis, to pray, Lord, let me affect the lives of the people that I meet day by day as Christ affected them, no matter what circumstance he found himself in, no matter what situation he found himself in. He affected that situation for the glory of God. And I'm glad that it didn't matter. I've got a whole outline in another Bible of all of these chapters here in the book of John and how that God took the very simple, mundane things of life, everyday circumstances, and made them eternal in the way that He handled them in giving God glory through His life. John chapter number 8 is no different. Here we have a very unsettling text, if you'll have it that way. It is a text where a woman, I'm embarrassed for this lady. I'm embarrassed for Jesus because He is the Son of God. I'm embarrassed for whoever it was that she was caught with that they didn't bring. I'm embarrassed for the men that brought her because I know how this is going to end up. Jesus is going to embarrass them. But it is an embarrassing, almost an embarrassing situation. But Jesus doesn't stumble one minute. He doesn't take one false step. He never, in this landmines that they have laid for Him, He knows exactly where they're planted, and He knows how to get out of it to bring glory to God and to exalt His name and His wonderful grace. Oh, Lord, I want to be able to do that. I want You to help me every day to see the traps that people lay and that the devil lays in my life to get out of that and bring glory to His name. I'm afraid sometimes that we're like a bull in a china shop. We just go running in and taking one for the team, amen. And nothing wrong with that at times, but I tell you what I want to do. I want to bring glory to His name. If I could step into this text, if I could step out of this confines of time that I'm in, and I could step back in time into this text, Brother Jim, into this situation, I would want to come in right as this woman is leaving. I don't want to come in when they're throwing her down at the feet of Jesus. I wouldn't want to do that. I can see that in the text. But I, Brother Bobby, would want to step in to where this woman has been told by Jesus, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I tell you what I'd like to do, Brother Tarvin. I'd like to run up to her and tap her on the shoulder and say, ma'am, could I speak to you for just a moment? Could I talk to you for just a minute about what has just transpired and taken place here? Could you give me a few moments of your time? I'm sure this woman would be willing to give me all the time that I would want to hear about what Jesus has done in her life. I would think that this woman would have something to say that would benefit me in my Christian walk and maybe benefit you today as a sinner. These are things that I'm concerned about as a preacher, as an evangelist, as I travel around to the churches I preach at, preach under the tent, juvenile detention center, wherever it may be that God gives me opportunity to preach. I'm concerned about the conversion and the conviction of sinners. That is the place, Brother Kevin, where I work. I labor in that field. And so I want to be careful in that field, and I'm concerned about that. But if I was to come to this woman and ask her, lady, could I ask you a question? What did they catch you doing? She'd say, they caught me in the very act of adultery. They didn't catch her because somebody said she's doing it. They caught her while she was there. She was in the very bed of adultery. Ma'am, that's got to be very embarrassing. You don't know how embarrassing it is, sir, to be taken as a woman, someone who's thought of as less than in a society where a woman is thought of less than a slave. A good woman wasn't thought of as being worth very much in this society, Brother Justin. She wasn't considered to be worth very much at all. That's the reason when Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, he not only sold him for the price of a slave, but the price of a female slave. The cheapest, most inexpensive slave that you could buy. This lady was taken in the very act of adultery and thrown at the feet of Jesus. If you ask this woman, why were you taken? She said, number one, if you'll notice in the text, the Bible said that the scribes and the Pharisees brought her. Now the scribes and the Pharisees in your New Testament always represent the law. They were the caretakers, Brother Craig, of the law. They're the ones who not only enforce the law, but if you were doing something they didn't like, they'd make a law up to be against what you were doing. My, my, my. But what they done is they went out and found a woman who was in the very act of adultery. They went out, it would seem, according to this text, with that purpose in mind. They found this woman who was taken in the very act of adultery, and she'd say, I was convicted by the law. The Bible tells us that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now, I know they didn't intend to do a good deed. They weren't doing this to help this woman. The law was not bringing her to Christ to be saved. The law was bringing her to Christ to be killed. Hey, I want to say to you today, if you're here lost without God, that is the job of the law. The law has no compassion. The law has no sympathy. It has no mercy. And that's where we were at, Brother Mike. When the law found me, when that word of God crossed my path and brought me to a place that I knew I needed him, I didn't think there was any hope. The problem we have with a lot of folk in our day is they've never been confronted with that law. You say, we live in the age of grace. I know we live in the age of grace, but the only people living under grace are those that have been converted. If you're lost, you're still under the law. And the law is going to do what the law has always done. It's going to kill you. The Bible said that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Listen to me, if you're here today and you're lost, you're living under the broken law of God. You have found yourself without hope in that law. This woman would say, I was convicted by the law. But not only was I convicted by the law, I was condemned by the law. He said in the book of John, through the pen of the apostle John, he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the law, not only does the law convict us, but the law condemns us. It condemns us in telling us that we have separated ourselves from God by the choices we have made, Chance. And if you're here today, you are condemned by the law. Now you're not waiting for the, you're not waiting to go to the judgment to be condemned today. You're condemned already. And you are waiting for the sentence to be carried out. Yes, as a member of the Pleasant View Baptist Church, you're condemned. Can I tell you the Pleasant View Baptist Church, greatest church in America, as far as I'm concerned. If I knew of a better one, I'd go join it. I don't know of one. I moved Brother Craig from Georgia to find one, amen. They can talk about all the great churches down there, but when I was down there, they wasn't there, amen. I had to move to Kentucky to find one. Hey, but as much as I love the Pleasant View Baptist Church, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a member. Not a member of this one, amen. My member, your name may be on the roll of this one, but it better be on the roll of the one in heavens where it better be. I was condemned by the law. This is what they said. They brought her before Jesus. They threw her down. And this is what they said. Moses said, we're to stone her. But what do you say? Jesus didn't say a word. The Bible said that he stooped down and wrote upon the ground. What did he write? I have no idea. You don't either. Don't nobody else know. We'll never know. There's been a lot of speculation about what he wrote. I don't have any idea. I don't know what he wrote, but I do know what he said. I'll deal with that. But listen, this lady was not the only one convicted in this text. We think if we can just get people convicted, they'll be fine. There's people in this text convicted that left in the same shape they came in. I'm going to say something. It's not so much you being as much, it's not as much about you being convicted as it is about who you're convicted by. Oh yes. Hey, listen, this is what they said. That woman, you say, I was convicted by the law. I was condemned by the law. Hey, and then you ask, but what about them other men? Oh, they were convicted too. Bible said they were only convicted by their own conscience. And a man or a woman who is convicted by their conscience may change their mind, but they'll never change their life. And I'm afraid we have filled the pews up of the churches across America with men and women, boys and girls, who are convicted by their conscience. And that's all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow.
They're convicted because they've been exposed.
Yes, sir.
They're convicted because of what somebody might think about them.
Wow.
Convicted by their conscience. But ma'am, I don't understand. They were convicted by their conscience. They left the way they came. I don't understand. Here you are. It looks like everything's fine with you. What is the difference? Because when the law got out of the way, the law, they didn't know it, but the law was doing what it was supposed to do. It brought that sinner to Christ. But when it got him to Christ, the law lost its power. When the sinner's before God, the law is without power. The law is dead in the presence of Christ. The Bible said that he took those handwriting of ordinances and nailed them to his cross. He killed them at Calvary.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Listen to me. This woman said, I don't know everything that took place. I can't explain it. I'm not a theologian. I don't have a degree in theology to where I could explain it. But this is what I do know. He said to me, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And he's the only one who had the right to condemn me. The men had no right to condemn her because they were men. But Christ had a right to. He was in the very process and the act of purchasing that right in this text, Bethany. He had a right to condemn her to be stoned. He could have said stone her and it would have been righteous judgment. He could have said, kill her, and it would have been all right in the sight of God. But he told that woman, he said, I don't condemn you. See, they were convicted by their conscience, but she was convicted by God. That law brought her to Christ. And
And once it got her to the feet of Jesus, Brother Jim, the law lost its power. See, when I got saved, before I got saved, I was under the law. I mean, I was condemned. I was burdened down. I was convicted. I was going to hell and knew I deserved to go. Listen, Brother Craig, I knew my life was a wreck. I wanted out and couldn't get out. I've said it 1,000 times, and if you hear me preach any length of time, you'll hear me say it again. I wanted out and couldn't get out. I got to the place I didn't want to drink no more. You say, well, if you didn't want to, you would have quit. Not if you'd have been in my shape, you wouldn't. Amen. Brother Jim, I wanted loose and couldn't get loose. Hey, why? Because I was bound by what? By sin, yes. I was bound by sin, but I was also bound by that law. See, sin had been committed, and that law had me bound up to judgment. It had me condemned, Brother Mike, to face the eternal wrath of Almighty God. And I had no hope. I looked around me and the law said death. I looked around me and the friends said death. I looked around me and sin said death. But I came to Jesus. And he said, where are your accusers? He said, where's them men that are accusing you? Where are they at? She said, I don't have anybody accusing me. Lord, there's no man condemning me. I know God don't think like this, but we think like this. I do. I would have said, oh, there's nobody here to condemn you, huh? Well, I guess I'm the only one that's left that can condemn you. Is that right? They didn't have that conversation, but they could have. No, Lord, you're the only one that could condemn me. This woman wasn't arguing, Brother Jim. She wasn't giving excuses to why she had done what she'd done. It wasn't her mama's fault. It wasn't her daddy's fault. It wasn't her husband's fault. It wasn't even the man that had seduced her or that she had seduced that caused her to do what she'd done. She knew what she'd done was her own fault, her own problem. And you can blame it on mama and daddy and the church and friends and everything you want to, but I'm telling you, the condition of your heart as a sinner or as a saint is your own problem tonight. It's you. It ain't me. You say, well, I seen so-and-so do something, and I don't care what you seen so-and-so do. This woman saw the religious leaders of her day being outright hypocrites. But when that law got her to Christ, the law lost its power. Ma'am, could I ask you a question today? Could I ask you one question? Why did he let you go? You're here today and you're under the burden of sin. Your soul is bound up in the cords of your iniquity. And you know that you're condemned by God. And that if God were to call your soul into account this morning, you would be found weighed in the balance and found wanting. Ma'am, why did he let you go? Why did the King of the all glory, why did he let you go? Did you say something nice to him? Did you say something really special in your prayer? He didn't even, lo and behold, Brother Jim, he didn't even take her down the Romans Road. He didn't take her down the Corinthian bypass. You say there's nothing wrong with that. No, there's nothing wrong with it if it's used right. The Word of God, there's never anything wrong with the Word of God if it's used right. But Brother Craig, I never seen where he ever asked her if she knew she was a sinner or not. She knew, friend. You know why she knew? Because the law had already shown her she was. You do a whole lot of preaching when you're dealing with sinners and dealing with that law, and you won't have no trouble them knowing they're a sinner. You say they might get condemned, they might get convicted, yeah, they might get converted. Amen. Why did he let you go? Sir, I cannot answer that question. If you want to know the answer to that question, you'll have to go to him and ask him. So maybe, Brother Craig, after we talk with her, we could walk up to Jesus and say, "Dear Jesus, could I ask you, why did you let her go?" You know what I think you'd say, Brother Jim? I think you would have said, "Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting." Jesus, why did you let her go? Because I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus, why did you let her go? Because I'm come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why did you let her go? Because I made a covenant with a man and a woman standing in a garden that nobody knew anything about but me and them. And I've come to honor that covenant. I told him that I would bruise his head. I'm a bruising the devil's head today. Don't get too high and mighty. Because, Brother Joe, you can take that woman out and put me and you right there. You take her out and put me in her place. And I'd still say, "Jesus, why did you let me go?" He'd say, "Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why did you let me go? Because I came to call the righteous. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why did you let me go, Jesus? Because I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. A lot of people put down an old time worship and feeling your salvation. And I ain't saved by feelings. But I'd hate to know I was saved and didn't have any. Yes, sir. You see, this woman felt condemned, burdened down. She was convicted. And Brother Jim, she needed somebody to set her free. And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee," and told her to do something she couldn't do. He said to her, "Go and sin no more." This is what he's saying. I ain't going to condemn you for what you've done in the past. I ain't going to condemn you for what you're going to do in the future. You go and sin no more. Now, I don't think, Brother Keith, that woman left there and went back to that bed of adultery. It's not saying she couldn't have committed adultery later on, but I don't believe she left there and went back to it. And I'm going to tell you something, Brother Jenkins, them kids you got at the challenge program, and I understand what's going on today, I didn't want to talk, but you got them kids at the challenge program, they get saved, they'll be at service. That's the same way it is in youth detention center. It works just like that in the prison. Salvation works. It works in the church, and it works in the prison, and it works on the street. And if it ain't working in the prison, in the youth detention center, in the church, it ain't salvation. But he said, "Go and sin no more." That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted loose. I was glad somebody said, "Go and sin no more," and gave me the power to do it. Y'all ain't got a call this week about seeing me going in any bars anywhere, have you? Good thing it'd been a lie, because I ain't been to none. I tell you what you can do. You can go back. I did go on one time after I got saved. And I was doing it for pest control work. And they were closed when I went in. I got under such conviction, Brother Craig, about it, I went back out to my truck, went back to the office, and said, somebody else will have to service that account. And they gave it to somebody else, amen. I ain't looking to go with none. Why? Because he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He gave me not only a command, but the power to fulfill it. That's what the Christian life is. It is the command of do not sin, but with it comes the power to perform the work. I don't have that power, Brother David. I'm sorry, I can't help you. It's not that we're perfect, but I'm going to tell you something. If you can continue on in the life that you've always lived, if two chapters over, we'd have found this woman again, Brother Craig, in the act of adultery. We'd have said she missed it. Conviction by your conscience will change your mind, but not your life. And when God dealt with this woman, he dealt with her personally. Nobody else was there, him and her. And he changed her completely. Amen. Had an old preacher in the last 2 years take me to the side. I've preached out of 2 Corinthians 5:17 on being a new creature in Christ. And he took me to the side, a man that I have great respect for. He said, what you said tonight, that Bible is right. He said, but said, you talking about that complete change and being changed instantly. He said, all you really changed is just what you knew. Well, that's all I'm responsible to change. But I want to tell you something, everything I knew changed. And if I'd have known anything else, that would have changed. And since I've been saved all these years, I've been getting to know more and more has been a-changing. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If ain't you listen to me, young boys and young girls and adults, men and women alike. If there ain't never been a change in your life, there's never been a conversion. How does it feel, ma'am? Oh, you mean how does it feel when I felt my old cold heart melt and tears started flowing from the moment I felt it? How does it feel? Hey, it feels like a new life. It feels like a new heart. It feels like a new mind. It feels like a new world. It feels like a new man, amen. That's what it feels like. You want to know what it feels like? I just told you. Well, I ain't never felt that way. Well, I'm sorry for you. I'm going to tell you something about feelings, and I'll be done, Brother Mike. You ain't saved by feelings. But have you ever got cold on the Lord like Brother Keith was talking about? And you feel like you're a million miles away from God? Well, you're not. Do you know that? God said, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. But we feel like that, don't we? And if God didn't let us feel that way, we never would get right with him. If God didn't let us feel that way, we would never get right with him. You say you're not saved by feelings. No, but if God didn't ever let you feel like you was lost, you never would get saved. See, God made you an emotional creature, and God deals with you through your emotions. And so if you're sitting here today, and while they're singing or while, you know, I'm not talking about necessarily today. You might not be right with God today. You might not can feel anything because you feel like you're cold. But boy, if I was in that shape, I'd sure find me an altar somewhere and get along with God. Say, Lord, I know I ain't saved by feelings, but boy, I sure do need to feel you. And I'm going to tell you something. I ain't never seen a crowd like we have, to not necessarily in our church, but across this country, Brother Caleb, that is past feeling. They don't nothing move them. I've seen preachers preach. I told Autumn, I scared Autumn and Brenda before I preached today. I said, they accused me last time of preaching all glory. I said, I'm going to fix that this morning. Oh, Daddy, please no, she said. But it ain't been bad, has it? I'm going to tell you something. I've had God deal with me in such a way about preaching on judgment and warning folk. And people sit there. And then I preached and the glory fall. And people sit there. I've seen God come through and a preacher deal with things and people just sit there. Judgment. I've seen a preacher preach the glory down and sit there. Nothing. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God ain't got but two things to offer you, and that's judgment or grace. And if judgment don't move you and grace don't move you, there ain't no hope for you. That's right, ain't it? If the judgment of God won't move you and the grace of God won't move you, God ain't got nothing else to offer. You'll either be saved by fear, because of fear of the judgment, impending judgment of God, or because of the love and the grace of God being made manifest in your life.
Amen.
This woman said, I don't know everything that took place, but I can tell you it's different now.
Amen.
She probably went away singing, it's different now. Since Jesus saved my soul, it's different now. Since by his blood I'm whole, old Satan had to flee. When Jesus rescued me, now it's different. Yes, it's oh so different now. I went to church one day to hear them sing and pray. The preacher firmly plowed the gospel plow. He said, you must repent. So down the aisle I went. Now it's different. Yes, it's oh so different now. It's different now. Praise God. Since Jesus saved my soul, it's different now. Since by his blood I'm whole, old Satan had to flee. When Jesus rescued me, now it's different. Yes, it's so different now. That's the reason it's good for me to hear Josh and Jeremiah and Jackie and Jamie and all these young people got saved 6 or 7 years old. Talk about getting saved. Here I was a drunk on my way to hell, a dope head. Didn't have no hope. I mean, I was in a mess. But the same thing I felt when I got saved, they felt it. Amen. That's amazing, ain't it? It ain't what we done. It's what we were. God changed what we were. God will change you. You can be changed today. You ain't got to go on like you are.
Amen.
The good news is, you don't have to keep going like you are, but I'm going to tell you something. You'll have to be convicted by more than just your mind. Salvation is a spiritual, supernatural work of Almighty God. You are responsible. I'm responsible to respond to Him. But if you ever get saved, it won't be you that does it. And you won't have no really whole lot to do it. Because if we did, when we got to heaven, we'd run around all over the streets and go talking about how we got ourselves saved. I'm telling you, I know God saved me by grace. But I kept myself. That's how I walked through this world. Put a big attaboy on me, amen. We'd try to snatch God off his throne. But I guarantee you this woman won't be doing that. She'll be saying, I tell you why I'm here. It's only by grace. It's only by the amazing, marvelous grace of God. I was condemned by the law. Convicted by the law. Convicted by God. But converted by Jesus. So my question to you this morning is this. Do you know how it feels? I couldn't have picked a better song. Do you know how that feels? No, Brother David, I don't know how it feels. Well, I tell you what I'd do. I'd find me an altar somewhere, and I'd get along with God, and I'd do whatever anybody told me to do till I knowed how that felt. You say, you're not saved by feelings. I ain't talking about being saved by feelings. You're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody big is God. This is what them old preachers, we used to make fun of them, you know, because we got all this education now, but they had a whole lot of sense. Them old preachers, a lot of times years ago, they'd say, somebody big is God moving somebody as little as you, and you think you wouldn't know it? Why, sure you'd know. I knew. They didn't know. Hey, I didn't have nobody. I ain't against helping people on the altar. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not against handing out tracts. All of that. I'm not against anything. I'm for every bit of it and do it and help them. Want to help them, Brother Jim. Help people. That's what that Ethiopian eunuch said. How can I, said some man, show me? Hey, but when that man showed him, he took him as far as he could, and God had to save him. And I'm all for helping folks. But I'll tell you, there wasn't nobody there to help me when I got in. It's just me and the cobwebs and spiders and the dirt. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you knew how afraid I was of spiders, you know it was God. But I'm just telling you, when you get saved, Brother Bobby, you're not perfect. But boy, you eat up, Brother Ed Mackby said, you sure are eat up with a want to. This woman said, all I know is I was condemned. The law had condemned me. But grace and truth, Jesus Christ, said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's stand with heads bowed.